You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Happy New Year. Welcome to our very first show of 2019. Lara and I are in studio talking all things musical theater LA, from what's going on at the Pantages to what's going on at the Allmanson to Lara's incredible experience at Wicked.
It's Curtains Up on another episode of West of Broadway. I'm radio host and theater enthusiast Lara Scott, along with celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong. And we're going to get Wicked here in just a minute.
Absolutely. You know, I totally am so excited to talk about Wicked. But first, I haven't seen you since the holidays. And the last thing, I think we were at the Lithgow Family Panto for the wonderful Winter of Oz.
I haven't seen you since last year, Will. Right. Just like 3 weeks ago. Thank you so much to Becky and Chris Lithgow for having us for opening night. The Pasadena Civic was such a perfect-sized venue for this show. And if you haven't heard the episode with Becky, she is so cute. And she explains what a panto is and kind of their whole mission in really bringing theater to kids and families.
Exactly. It was so thrilling to see her and her family up on stage welcoming everyone. It didn't feel stuffy. It felt just like such a great introduction to theater for anyone of any age. And yes, the talent on that stage was just phenomenal.
And it felt like we were all hanging out. It started with Becky's introduction. She had her adorable little son, Leo, in his, I think he was in a tiny tuxedo, a little suit. And then they had a gal, a big YouTuber, come out and sing.
Yeah.
She sang Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. And so audience participation was encouraged, and we were encouraged to boo the Wicked Witch and cheer for Dorothy and cheer for the lion and everybody.
Exactly. It was so much fun. What did your kids think?
They loved it. It's funny because it wasn't funny at the time, but my just turned 4-year-old, I don't even know what set her off. You were taking a picture of us, and she lost it in the middle of the lobby.
I have this effect on children where I'm so high energy that sometimes kids don't know how to take me. Kids that are like, you know what I mean? They completely like turn down or like don't. Some kids love my energy and just totally jive with it. And some kids are just like, this guy's a lot. I need to. So I probably weirded her out. And I'm
She's really sensitive. Maybe you fried her aura, right?
We
live in LA.
She's so beautiful. And I was so happy to see her. And Dallas, that kid is awesome.
He at one point said, Mom, just drag her to safety because people were stepping over her. Mm-hmm. Every time I tried to pick her up, she'd start kicking. And people are trying to get to their seats. He goes, just drag her to safety so no one steps on her and we'll just wait it out.
Well,
this is the wisdom of a 9-year-old.
It was the perfect show to take kids to where that was completely acceptable. It wasn't just like, oh, God. It's just like, sorry. Like, everyone here in the theater can feel me, you know, because you've been here. You know?
Although they were pretending not to see us. I didn't notice any judgy looks, so that was good. But the moment that it was like ding and somebody goes, oh, the show is about to start, it was over. I was completely traumatized, and I put that in my Instagram story. Like, I'm sweating, my face is red, my hair stuck to my forehead. But they sat there completely enraptured for 45 minutes, 2 hours.
It was so great.
Yeah, and it was so cute because Yvette, and I hope I'm saying her last name right, Gonzalez Nacer, I believe. She used to be part of the Fresh Beat band on Nickelodeon,
which
we used to watch. She was Kiki. That show, she stole the show for me. It was all about her and Kermit, even though everybody was so terrific. But her voice,
when Kermit came out, I got chills. But for me, it was about the Scarecrow and the Lion.
Yeah.
They were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like their voices and it was so fun. And it was such a silly, dumb, amazing, wonderful show. I loved it. It was just so, just like exactly my kind of humor.
It was so funny. And it was music from Imagine Dragons.
Yep.
And there are a lot of 80s songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some great jokes about Toto, like Toto the dog and Toto the band. you know, a little bit of Africa, a little bit of Hold the Line.
A little Boots, Scoot, and Boogie.
Yeah. It was Scoot and Boogie. Well, and the great thing is, like last year, or actually 2 years ago now, in 2017, they did the Beauty and the Beast A Christmas Rose show. And then in 2018, it was in Laguna. So I'm hoping that the wonderful Winter of Oz is going to be on somewhere in the country this year for holidays 2019. Yeah, it's an absolute must-see.
Well, kudos to the Lithgow family for really bringing panto to the States, because it's a wonderful art form, and why not? You know, I think it works perfectly with the holiday season.
I hope they're resting right now after this craziness of the past couple months. Becky, we hope you're napping.
Well, speaking of theater and kids and shows we love, you also took your kids to Wicked.
I did, and it was a very different experience watching it as a parent, because this was my third time seeing Wicked. I saw it twice when it was here in LA a long, long time ago. I would say at least 10 years ago. And obviously, I've listened to the soundtrack since then. I've kept up with everything. But it was almost like seeing it again for the first time. This was another one that my 9-year-old loved. He knows the soundtrack. He was able to follow along with the story. And it was funny because he also saw Come From Away. And he said, Mom, Wicked had a lot more stuff on stage. I said, yeah, Come From Away has chairs, some trees around the edge. But just the bigness, is that the right word,
yeah,
of this
spectacle.
Show? The spectacle, thank you,
sure.
with the big clock and then all the different moving parts.
Flying in on the bubble.
Coming in, yeah, traveling by bubble. I love that. We can't all travel by bubble.
What did you think of the Oz chair, like the big head and the fire? It's just, it's a beautiful, incredible show.
It's a beautiful show, and it was just as good as I remembered.
Right.
And I want to talk about Jackie Burns really quickly.
Sure.
Broadway's longest running Elphaba. Will, coming from theater, how do you, as an actor, come into this role that, you know, by the time she took over, a lot of legendary people, a lot of legendary actors had stepped into that hat, if you will,
right,
put on the green makeup, starting with Idina Menzel.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it your own, which she did, but still keep the essence of what everybody's coming for?
Well, that's exactly it. It's people are coming for a set expectation of what they think the Wizard of Oz and Wicked is, and staying true to that. But I feel like because there have been so many repeat customers, there's been so many people, they want to see the evolution. They want to see what that person brings to. And I know, and I also know different Elphabas have different vocal strengths. And it's been my experience to watch the musical directors work with each one to really, like, you know how when she's flying and she's like, ah,
mm-hmm,
like, to really figure out what that's going to be and how effective it's going to be in their voice so they can bring their to the role. You know what I mean?
She definitely brought her. And the pump worked. Maybe you could share a little bit from your time with the show, because you told me a great story about how sometimes the pump didn't work.
Okay. The hydraulic?
Lift them, the hydraulic.
We call it the cherry picker.
Mm-hmm.
And she steps into it. I mean, because, and so when she's the
this is the money shot.
Yeah, where
will.
She's at the end of act one, where she's going to fly. Sometimes, because it's hydraulics and it's a machine, and they do 8 shows a week, every once in a while it doesn't work. So they have contingencies where there's different lighting cues and there's different choreography for if for some chance the cherry picker doesn't go up and she doesn't fly, she just keeps singing and they do a lighting cue and they move everything down. And when the cast comes out, they all lie on the ground. Looking up at her, it's a little anticlimactic, but I mean it's a good fix for live theater, and when something goes wrong, to have something prepared.
That's kind of a genius fix on the fly, like that,
mm-hmm,
to have the cues and this is what's going to happen. Because I would actually love to see that and see what the effect is. As long as somebody doesn't miss a beat, probably a lot of people might not even realize that something is amiss.
If mm-hmm, you've not seen the show before, mm-hmm, you don't even notice. But if you've seen the show before, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, you're like, wait, she's supposed to be up there and she's down here.
Because it's spectacular. When you see her fly at the end, you're like, it's a great end of act one.
It's one of those crazy moments. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't get to see Kara Lindsay as Glinda, but we did get to see understudy Allison Bailey. And we went to a Sunday afternoon matinee, so I kind of wondered, okay, there's probably going to be at least one understudy in one of the big roles. And she was absolutely perfect. Just flawless, didn't miss a beat. She had great chemistry with Jackie Burns. They came out with their arms around each other at the end. It was really kind of a special thing to see.
Absolutely. And it's just I am such a huge champion for understudies and swings, because nothing bugs me more than when you're sitting in the audience and you hear somebody sitting next to you being like bummed because they're the person that's supposed to be in the role isn't, and somebody else. They hire such incredible talent, and there's so much talent out there, and people love, and they're waiting for their chance to get on stage. And when they do, they're not going to mess this up, and they're going to give you 100%.
I'm so happy for them when I see them,
mm-hmm,
and I know that maybe this is their one shot that week to do that role, and they're knocking it out of the park. So if you're an understudy or a swing for a show, please come on our podcast, because I would love to hear just how you keep it straight. And
it's many times if you're a swing or an understudy and you're really, really good, like, they can trust that, because it's such an important, you're an insurance policy. So they don't want to waste it on someone who's subpar. They want someone who's going to be able to hit the ground, knock it out of the park, and not somebody who like needs to do it every single day to keep it in their body. It's a special skill.
Yeah. Well, speaking of understudies, did you see that Frankie Valli's granddaughter, Olivia, like Frankie Valli, is understudying Elphaba? And I saw a great picture on Instagram of her in the green makeup with Frankie backstage at the Pantages when she got to go on. So,
That's awesome.
That would have been really cool. Well, anything else from your years with the show that you want to share? Any behind the scenes info or any cool facts?
Well, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about how lucky I was to. Okay, so. My last professional dancing job was Christmas at Radio City, and I loved it. I loved it so much, and I was ready to transition into something else, but I didn't know what. So while I was at Radio City, I trained as a stage manager, and it was incredible because it is such a technically advanced stage. And then I went on tour, and I worked with Wicked in merchandise, and I understudied stage management. And so every once in a while, I would cover stage right, like, as a stage manager, and I'd have my little headset and be in the dark, and it was just incredible.
Yeah, I was thinking about that actually watching Wicked. You know, are there understudies for other positions? Because I was thinking specifically about the orchestra. Like, what if the conductor's sick? Like, who steps in?
They travel. Well, yes, there's they have someone who can cover, who, like, they swing out occasionally so that the musical director who's traveling with the show can watch the show and make sure that everything sounds great and that everyone's doing, because it's, when you're conducting, you know, you're working the whole time. So you can observe and stuff like that, but every once in a while it's great to step out. So they have insurance policies for everybody, you know, and lots of musicians can play more than one instrument. So it's great to have someone who can fill in any role that's traveling with, because they travel with, like, the core, like pianos and drums and maybe a horn, or if there's a special solo of some sort in that show, they'll have a specialist traveling with the show. But then they also rely heavily on local musicians. So that first day that they're in town, the day before the show opens, they're in music rehearsal. So the music director is there with his assistant music director and all of the traveling musicians, and then they meet all of the very, very talented local musicians.
And they've been practicing on their own, getting ready. It's like, hi, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. And the thing is, in, like, with a show like Wicked, there's people that every time it comes through, it's been through several times now. Mm-hmm. And one time it was here for 5 years. You know, people know this show backwards and forwards. So
I feel like I could step in and play that, right? Maybe on the recorder.
Good,
I still have
you.
Some skills. But stage manager, that's huge. So you were the one in charge of bringing this one in at this time, and this part comes in at this
just
time.
Just making sure that there's a stage right, a stage left, and a house manager, and they all work together to make sure the show is safe, because you're in the dark back there.
I could see that from where we were sitting. We were in the balcony, which was a great place to see, just a few rows back, because you really got, again, the sense of the spectacle. But I could see little flashlights kind of backstage and people sort of getting into place, and I had that same thought. I was like, wow, it's really dark.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to trip.
Yeah, so it's to be back there and make sure that, because if somebody doesn't make a change, or if a prop piece doesn't get set in place, or if the Elphaba isn't hooked in time, we have to give the cue to let them know that it's safe to fly. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one point where I would have to crawl under the stage and wait for when the wizard, at the very beginning of the show, when he gives the elixir to Elphaba's mom, and then he goes down into the ground, I'm under there, you know, like, making sure that it's safe. And we're the eyes and ears to make sure that everybody is working in a safe environment.
And the unsung heroes of Wicked.
We're like the parents.
Making sure it's safe to fly.
But it was a great, when transitioning out of performing, it was a great way to say goodbye and still keep one foot in theater and be with my theater family, you know?
Yes.
So it was a nice transition to, because, like, when dancers and performers are done, you know, and it's sometimes, because I worked my whole life to get to where I was as a professional dancer on, like, some of the most amazing stages in the world. And when I realized that I was kind of working out of that, I got a little sad, and I got ever since I was two, if you asked me what I wanted to be, I knew. And for the first time in my life, I didn't know. And stage management was this thing that was, it just made a lot of sense at the time, until I found PR. And when I found PR, and public relations is just, it's a chance to shine in a completely different way. And I always say, I'm still tap dancing, just on the phone.
Every day.
Exactly.
And you started a theater podcast, so there's that.
Exactly.
So it's sort of come full circle in a way.
So this scratches my itch.
Anytime you want to get up and dance, Will, I will be an appreciative audience.
I appreciate that.
I'd even join you. Well, I was thinking about, just quickly before we wrap up our talk here on Wicked, the enduring appeal of this show, 15 years now? It's that transformative power of friendship. It's you know, realizing that maybe you were seeing things in the wrong way, that you didn't have all of the facts, standing up for what's right, even when you're standing alone. That was a big thing that I talked to my son about.
Uh-huh.
And just looking around me, I have never seen people. Do you know what Disney bounding is? Where people, they don't dress in Disney costumes, but they match the colors to the colors that a character wears. It's
sure.
a whole thing on Instagram. It's really cute. People were like wicked bounding this show where they had, there was a whole family, a mom, a dad, and a little girl that were dressed in outfits in green. And like the dad had a little bow tie and he had the glasses on like some of the characters, and it was so cute. And he proudly told me that his wife made all of their costumes.
Wow.
So here's to 15 more years of Wicked.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you still have a few more weeks to fly into Oz. Wicked is at the Pantages through January 27th, and you can check out HollywoodPantages.com for more info.
You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
And since it is our very first show of 2019, I have to keep saying that until it feels normal to say 2019. And Will, this is going to be another incredible year of musical theater
here in
Southern California. Let's stick with talking about the Pantages for a minute, because I love that there are so many classic shows this season that a lot of us will get to see for the first
2019
time.
2019 is all about the classic musical at the
yes.
Pantages Theater. And it's so exciting to bring these shows to a completely new generation.
Yes. Let's talk Betty Buckley.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello,
okay,
Dolly.
So
we'll just go in order.
Yeah. Hello, Dolly, which on Broadway, it was Bette Midler. And then Bernadette Peters took over for her. And now, and so Betty Buckley is taking on the road, who is just a musical theater icon who can do absolutely anything. And I can't wait to see her.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be amazing. And I love that show so much. It is just like old school classic Broadway that with some iconic, there's this... number in the first scene, in the first act about Take Me Dancing that is just so beautiful. The music and Ribbons Down My Back is just an incredible song. And then my favorite thing as a male dancer in musical theater is the Waiter's Gallop in the second act is just, I can't wait to see what they do.
And see, I know none of these. So
yeah.
I'm super excited to see this and get myself educated a little bit more on
Absolutely.
These classic
yeah.
shows. Up next, Kinky Boots. That's going to be in February.
Okay, so Jerry Mitchell, he gave us Hairspray. He's currently on Broadway. He directed and choreographed Pretty Woman, and Kinky Boots is one of his shows, and it did incredible on Broadway, and the tour and the London production is taking the world by storm.
Did Cyndi Lauper do the music
yes.
for this?
Yes, she did.
Okay,
Very
yeah, I was
good.
Like, Cyndi Lauper, like,
mm-hmm.
I heard that somewhere. Oh, that's so
yeah.
fantastic.
And if you want to have some fun, go on Instagram and check out the hashtag full out. Like, the choreographers and the directors and all of the dance captains and everyone, they use the full out hashtag to share information about Kinky Boots, and it's just amazing. Like, what? I'm really, really excited. It's based on a movie, and they turned it into a musical, and it's I'm very, very excited.
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
And then going back to classic Cats in late February. What
yeah.
do you say about Cats?
I mean, as a kid that grew up as a dancer first and foremost, like, Cats was just like sacred. You know, and it was at the Winter Garden now and forever for so long that I thought it was going to be forever.
Didn't they do the skit on Saturday Night Live about the people that were sort of hypnotized and they couldn't figure out why Cats was the greatest show ever, but they just kept going?
Yeah. But it's, I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know, I think it changed what musicals were at the time, and it kind of opened the door for the big spectacular.
Right. Was that maybe like the first sort of pop Broadway show? I mean, the music, it feels very classical,
mm-hmm.
but you know what I mean? It just feels like it really sort of crossed over into popular culture.
Yeah.
With
no,
that one. I
absolutely.
Remember being a kid and my mom playing the soundtrack.
Yeah. No. And Betty Buckley was the
original. Right. Betty Buckley.
She was one of the original Grisabellas. I think she was here, the one in the States.
Yeah. And that's one where every single song is good.
Yeah.
There's just no filler in that show. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
That's going to be in March.
Yeah. And I wanted to tell you, Clive Voce, who was one of our guests in The Color Purple.
Yes.
He left The Color Purple to join the cast of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So he's coming back. So hopefully we can get to speak with him again when he comes back in town.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. April, Fiddler on the Roof.
Sunrise, Sunset, If I Were a Rich Man, Matchmaker, like so many incredible, iconic songs. But I feel like they're doing a very authentic version, like where they, Fiddler on the Roof is an Israeli actor who's coming, who's very established in Israel, who's coming to star in the show here. Like, so that's really exciting to see what kind of authentic twist they give it.
Pantages started counting down a year before. Les Mis coming in May.
Oh my gosh. Like, that, now we're talking like when I fell in love with musicals, it was Les Miserables and The Phantom of the Opera. Like, that's when I was coming of age to, like, learn what musicals were. And, like, the Cameron Mackintosh, like, mega musicals, like, incredible. You
know? And I've seen the movie version, which it seems that people that love the musical weren't fans of the movie. I loved the movie. A lot of that is I love Hugh Jackman.
And Phantom of the Opera, I'm just so excited about. Like, I can't believe, again, how these shows have stood the test of time.
Well, I don't care how many times you see Phantom of the Opera. I think I've seen it four or five now. Mm-hmm. When the Phantom appears in the mirror, the whole audience gasps and everybody gets chills. So it's going to be fun to see how they do it this time around.
Robert Guillaume, I believe, was the very first African-American actor to play Phantom of the Opera. And I know that this tour, there is the gentleman who's playing the Phantom is African-American. So I just love non-traditional casting. Mm-hmm. And just like it's open to anyone, and may the best voice and the best performance win. I love that.
Absolutely.
I love it so much.
And this is a big cast and an orchestra of 52.
Yeah, like all together, like when the big huge number, masquerade, mm-hmm. where they have all the costumes and the whole stage is full, like the whole stairwell is full of people in these beautiful costumes and musicians are on stage. So 52 people, like that's a lot of people on stage.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive.
It's going to be beautiful to see. And then Rent is coming in July, the 20th anniversary tour. But if you can't wait till then.
They have Rent Live, which is going to be on NBC. No, it's on Fox. I'm sorry. They have Rent Live, which is going to be on Fox on January 27th. And it's Vanessa Hudgens is starring in it. And Valentina, who's one of the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. It's been a long time since I've mentioned RuPaul on this.
While there, it was every episode.
Yeah.
It was RuPaul and Perez Hilton.
Exactly. And Stephen Arimus is the musical director and one of the producers of the show. He was the original musical director for shows like Wicked and I think Kinky Boots. And yeah, Stephen Arimus is amazing.
Like, is he doing it for the tour or for the show?
He's going to
be on Fox.
On Fox.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I love that they're doing the live shows.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It's just incredible. And I feel like it's perfect for West of Broadway because it brings Hollywood and musical theater and Broadway all in one. And, like, that's what we're all about here.
And you can watch in your pajamas.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then let's, so in July, late July, it's going to be Miss Saigon.
Okay. So Wicked, when I was on tour, Dee Dee Magno-Hall and Clifton Hall are a married couple. Clifton played Fiero and Dee Dee played Nessa Rose. And they were married and they had their son on tour and they were just the most amazing people. And they were fantastic in the show and beautiful and incredible. But they met and fell in love starring in Miss Saigon.
And they're married?
Mm-hmm.
And they're still married?
Yeah.
And they're going to be on tour?
Yeah.
With this?
Well, no. Oh. They were on tour with Wicked. Now they're back. Yeah, like she does a lot of voiceover work for cartoons now. I can't remember some of the cartoons
I've
that she does.
I've probably seen her name on some of the shows
I
watched with the kids.
But Dee Dee
is
from The Party.
Yes, I used to play their music.
Yeah. The Mickey Mouse Club offshoot. Back in the day.
So that's a lot of talent coming out of those shows.
Yeah.
All right, looking ahead to the fall, the national tour of Frozen is going to roll into L.A., so I can't wait to find out more about that.
I can't wait to see what they do. I know absolutely nothing about it except for I've seen the movie.
Yeah,
so
and I've listened to the Broadway cast recording. They've added a lot of songs
mm-hmm.
that are really, really good. So it's Do You Want to Build a Snowman, Love's an Open Door, of course, Let It Go,
mm-hmm.
All the songs that we are going to be expecting from the movie, but I can't wait to see the production because speaking of production and spectacle, I think this is going to have all of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. All right, so moving over to downtown L.A. at the Amundsen Theater in February, Cinderella. So Matthew Bourne has transformed the fairy tale that we all know and love into a wartime romance, which looks really, really compelling.
Well, Matthew Bourne made history when he transformed Swan Lake and did it all with men, and it was spectacular. And he's just an amazing visionary who can just like reinterpret classics. And so he's doing it again with Cinderella. So I'm super excited to see what that's all
right,
about. All
right, Falsettos in April. You told me about this show and was originally done in the 90s.
Yeah. And it's two one-act stories. I think it's March of the Falsettos and Falsetto Land. And they put them together and it's Falsettos. And it is just, it's a wonderful story about family and it's funny and it's, and how, and what a family is and how you create a family and, yeah. It's in the music is incredible, and the scene work is wonderful, and it's just I'm really excited to see
this. I think that's
a
wonderful topic to explore now is what makes a family.
Yeah.
You know, what is a modern family?
Exactly.
And, you know, obviously the climate has changed a lot since the 90s, so it'll be interesting to see how it is received now. It's going to be really – I can't wait to see that one. Indecent, that's in June.
I know nothing about this.
The true story of a groundbreaking piece of theater, God of Vengeance, and the artists who risked their lives to perform it.
I can't wait. It sounds fascinating, and I can't wait to see it.
And then in July, The Play That Goes Wrong.
Yeah, like just like the name suggests, this is a play that is within a play where everything's going wrong, and it's a classic murder mystery. Like with, but actors are forgetting their lines, and the leading lady is unconscious, and there's a corpse in the play, and it's just crazy.
Sounds really fun.
Yeah.
That one sounds really, really funny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know what? Let's give it up for the Pantages and the Amundsen. And so many other, you know, theaters. I know that we tend to focus on the big shows, but again, you can reach out to us anytime and let us know if there's something that you're in, if you're part of the production team on that, or just something that you've seen that's really wonderful that you'd love us to cover. We would love to hear about that.
Yeah, you can reach out to us on our Facebook page. We're at Will and Lara, or just search West of Broadway, or you can find us on our Instagram pages, which we are active Instagrammers.
Yeah, at Lara Scott Media, at Will Armstrong PR.
Exactly.
And westofbroadwaypodcast.com. You can catch up on previous episodes. And please subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes if you enjoy what you're hearing, if you're a theater fan. It really helps other LA theater lovers discover us and builds our local theater-loving community.
Well, if we don't see you at the Pantages or the Amundsen,
or Sagerstrom Center for the Arts or Musical Theater West,
or any of the other terrific theaters here in town, if you're looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.